remember our distinguished guests who have taken time to be with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, comrades and friends, Moreni,
Sanibonani, Dumelang, Bakayetu, good morning, and Kwe More. I bring you greetings of peace, justice, and dignity for all. Honorable members, we are gathered here this morning at this sitting of the Portfolio Committee on Agricultural Land Reform and Rural Development. We extend a warm welcome to Chintsha Makhaya Alliance and all whom they represent and all who have joined us and are present here today. Your presence is first and foremost a healthy sign that our democracy works and that the voices, issues and concerns of the most marginalized deep rural communities, be that individual or collective, reaches us and can be heard and is heard in the very place that at its highest expression is a manifestation of the will of the people. Honorable members, we are also a place of lawmaking and oversight of the implementation of legislation, regulations, and the provisions required to give expression to the will of the people. We therefore welcome your commitment to the national agenda that is in essence transformative, seeking to advance land, water, and food justice. In this regard, honorable members, there is a huge synergy between the principles that you advocate and the very principles that drive the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform, and Rural Development. It is critical that we identify areas of synergy and cooperation and perhaps seek ways to advance the core issues that drive us and which lies at the core of bringing sustainable solutions to our people. We have entered an era that can best be described by the weaponization of social justice, in which legitimate issues of our people, most of which derive from our colonial and apartheid legacy and complicated by the veneer of corruption, criminality, and inefficiency of recent times, is leveraged as an instrument of regime change and, if not that, fostering discord and disrupting social cohesion. We have been aware of such tendencies since the early days of the presidency and remain acutely aware of the threat it poses to our nascent democracy. Honorable members, today's presentation from a request late in 2022 in the wake of the unspent mandate and the view Parliament took of it at the time. Whatever the underlying issues are or were, it is hoped that one doesn't encounter the same phenomenon this year of gross underspending, not at a time when the social conditions of our people are as tenuous and precarious as it is currently is. Honorable members, the issues before us of land justice, water and food security are germane to the core functions of the department. The approaches to food security systems and long-term sustainability of the agricultural sector and humanity as a whole is instructive, relevant, and worthy of our attention. As we welcome this presentation this morning, We acknowledge the Association for Rural Advancement, AFRA, Border Rural Committee, BRC, the Farmer Support Group, Legal Resource Center, Nkunzi Development Association, Support Center for Land Change, Surplus People Project, the Trust for Community Outreach and Education, Transkei Land Service Organization, and Women on Farms Project. We trust that your presentation here today will be well received and that this portfolio committee and the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development find synergies and many positive areas that can be a basis for future cooperation. We hear your call for a champion for agroecology in South Africa and for leadership to drive the transformative agenda in the agriculture, land reform and rural development space. Honorable members, let us work together to protect our democracy, transform our land and feed our families for generations to come. Allow me to therefore, honorable members, welcome the engagement on an agroecology strategy and plan for South Africa, the presentation by BioWatch SA, Chintsha Amakhaya Alliance, Agrarian Reform for Food Sovereignty Campaign, and Trust for Community Outreach and Education. I have a list of the delegations that is with us this morning, which I'd like to acknowledge. We have with us Umamu Priscilla Mdlalose from Chintsha Amakhaya Alliance. We have Vanessa Black from BioWatch SA. We have Tom Tini Ndwandwe, farmer in Kwao, KZN, Rene Dene, farmer in Suurbrak, Western Cape and member of TCOE, Maubuye. We also have Nicholas Kopman, farmer in Wuppertal, Western Cape, chair of Agrarian Reform and Food Sovereignty Campaign. And last but not least, we have Wade Parker from Surplus People's Project. You are all most welcome to the Precinct of Parliament in the Max Building, located on Parliament Street. We will now invite you to present your presentation, which we see has been flighted on the screen. And honorable members, you have been given the presentation, so if you can't see clearly from there, please follow from the slides that we have been provided. Thank you. Let us proceed.
Good morning, Honorable Chair.
Before we go any further, are there any apologies?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I've got apologies from Minister, Chair. Minister is attending the Citra Summit in Qabega. And then another apology, Chair, from DM Kappa due to ministerial engagement. Another apology from Tata Qelekulu is off sick. And Chair, the last one is from DG due to prior commitments. And then the department is replaced with Mr. Joseph Mahlabe, Acting Director, Plant Production, and Ms. Lydia Bosoha, Director, Land Use and Soil Management. Thank you.
Thank you, Mam Kakaza, our secretariat, for the apologies. My name is Anukaba. Or any further apologies?
Thank you, Chair. I've got apology from UTM's quarters office. They just called. They did not send anything in writing that they're going to send it. UTM's quarters is attending a workshop in Johannesburg, Pretoria. MP Matias and MP Motuidi thought the meeting would be virtual. Thank you very much. And my master.
Thank you, Manyamzo. Honorable members, we felt it necessary that this meeting be a physical meeting so that we can get a thorough engagement with the presenters that have taken time to write to the committee and request to come before the committee. I would also want to acknowledge the apology of Memato, as she has a bereavement and has lost her mother. We also, honorable members, would want to take this time to acknowledge honorable Kape on her completion of her PhD. Will soon be graduating, and she'll be formally known as Honorable Dr. Kape. So we are very proud that in the committee we continue to be inspired to broaden our horizons.
Kruka is next.
No. You see, Mamba Bama. We must pride ourselves in our legacy institutions. You know, Forte, you speak of, has produced three presidents in Southern Africa. That being His Excellency President Samuel Juma from Namibia, His Excellency President Mugabe from Zimbabwe, and the founding father of our nascent democracy, His Excellency President Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela. And many more leaders have come from that institution. And it is saddening to see it become what it is becoming. And I hope as a collective, and particularly those that want to uphold the legacy of our institutions of higher learning, should be expressing our dissatisfaction with the ministry and ensuring that they do their level best to save such institutions. But it is not our core mandate at this committee. I know for one that at Forte they do have quite an impressive agricultural faculty that I would invite all of you to take time to visit and interact with the institution. But without any further delays, honorable members, we're happy Mom Chete has been able to grace us with her presence. You are welcome. We'll hand over to the presenters to please go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Committee, the colleagues from the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, and also the Alliance members that are here. We want to thank you very much for allowing us to come here and to do the presentation. We are really honored. We've been looking forward to engage the department on this matter that is critical, especially to our farmers. So, Chairperson, allow me to introduce myself. I know that you have acknowledged us. My name is Priscilla Mdlalose. I am the National Coordinator of Chinja Amakhaya. And the Chairperson has outlined the partners or the alliance members of Chinja Amakhaya. I'm not going to go there. but let me just quickly say who Tshintsha Makhaya is. We are a national alliance of NGOs that are working in solidarity with social movements that are advocating for land, access to land, and agrarian reformation. So for me, I think it is important to say so because we know where we are coming from and we know where we want to go. So, and we know that there is still a long way for us to reach where we want to go. So Tshintsha Makhaya, the NGO that are the alliance members, they are working closely with the communities that are affected with a number of issues that I'm going to highlight soon. So I'm going to just show the content of our presentation, the structure of our presentation. We will talk about our purpose of being here, and I think the chairperson's outline, he has really touched on that. And also quickly just to highlight the state of affairs for our agrarian communities and the context, therefore, and the background on agroecology, because sometimes I think there is that misunderstanding of agroecology and the relevance of agroecology in the current context and how agroecology compares to other approaches, and a call to government, you know, the reason why we are here today. And we also have the farmers who are going to present their testimonies. And then thereafter, I'm hoping that then you will engage and have a discussion that will take us forward. So I don't want to dwell any further because the chair has even acknowledged our presence here. But we sent a letter to the minister on the 2nd of December, and we circulated that letter. I'm hoping that all the honorable members, they have access to that letter. So our being here really is to have more discussion around the content of that letter that was sent to the minister. But also to just echo what the concerns that were raised by the committee. I think it was when the department came to do their annual report. The date was on the 11th of October 2022. So we are here to echo that because we believe that there is so much that can be done because of the issues that are happening that are affecting households and that are affecting small and emerging farmers. So yes, we are saying we can use that money to make sure that we support the work of the households and we support the work of the farmers. But also we are here to present ourselves, to avail ourselves, because we believe that working together with the department, we'll be able to move and support farmers the way they, based on the needs that are on the ground. So we're here really to say, use us, you know, let's work together. I think our purpose is also around the issue of the policy, because at the moment we don't have the agroecology policy. So I think our discussion will be also around that. So when we are looking at the, sometimes it happens. Okay, when we look at the state of affairs of the agrarian community, the STEF SA 2021, they reported that above 3 million of households in South Africa, they are the producers of food. And this rose from, in 2019, it was about 15.3%, but it jumped to 17.5% in 2022. There was a little bit of decline during the time of COVID. But if you look at this number, this above more than 3 million, you can, if you separate the commercial farmers to farmers that are in practicing or producing food in their homesteads, and the small and medium-scale farmers, you can see in this diagram that there's a huge number of small farmers and those who are practicing farming in their own homesteads. But I just wonder in terms of investment, how much investment are we putting in terms of making sure that we support those those who are producing food from their homesteads and the small and emerging farmers. These are the commercial farmers. And then in terms of the issues, and I'm sure that around the table we know the issues that are affecting the farmers and the agrarian communities. One of the issues, it was around the issue of, it was during the time of COVID. You know, COVID, when it came, it exposed the issues that are already on the ground. You know, one of the things we had restricted access to food, but also the prices of food, they just went up. So it means that most of our communities could not access food. And then one of the issues that we are grappling with is the issue of climate change, the droughts, floods. I mean, even now we know the effect or the impact of floods in terms of our food production. And also the over-reliance on centralized and global supply chain. You know that anything can happen, you know, if we globalize everything. So these are some of the issues that are affecting our small farmers and the people who are producing their food in their homestead. So what are we saying around these issues? We do need a policy that will support the transformation in the agrarian food system. So our being here today really is to say, can we work together? Because this policy is required. We cannot work on something that is not, I think when the chairperson was introducing or when you were opening, you mentioned that one of the functions is the law making. So we do need policies that will support especially the agroecology, because we believe that this is the way to go. So that we are able to meet the needs of the food that we have in our country. So I'm going to hand over to my colleagues to just continue and talk more around the issues of agroecology. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. Thank you for having us. I come from an organization called BioWatch. We are an NGO based in Durban and Matuba. We work with smallholder farmers in KZN, mostly in the north for a long time, but there's little hubs developing all over the province, and I come with somebody named Wanwe, one of the farmers that we've been working with. We are also part of a wider network called a loose platform called Agroecology South Africa. And the letter that was written was also signed by 54 organizations that are all part of that broader platform, of which there's 130 plus organizations at the moment, all wanting to have agroecology acknowledged and supported. We in BioWatch are also part of a regional initiative in four countries called the Seed and Knowledge Initiative, looking at agroecology and seed as a cultural heritage that needs to be supported and which is the basis for food security. Sorry, Vanessa Black. So speaking about what is agroecology, there are three aspects that are spoken about, and it's about a just transition of not just practice on the ground, but the food system. And it's come about over time through the developing science of ecology that started recognizing that things were looked at too much in silos, and to have sustainable agro-ecosystems, there needed to be an understanding of how things work together. So it's about the practice on the ground, but it's also the science, and it's developed into a multidisciplinary science of which people's knowledge on the ground is also included and acknowledged as important in co-creation of that knowledge. And it's grown into a movement across the globe, so not only all our social movements in South Africa that are represented by us here, but globally there's been a growing movement, particularly from small producers on the ground and indigenous peoples who have been practicing in keeping with nature. So there's, over time as agroecology has developed, there's been some principles that inform it. Because everything is context related, we all produce in different circumstances in terms of the climate, geography, and also the social and political context. So principles guide us in what we do, and then it's suited to how things are on the ground. But what's important is that there's three main aspects of it. There's environmental sustainability, there's social justice and redress, and economic fairness and participation. So the principles which have developed and have been agreed in global processes to be 13 broad principles covering food system transformation must, that they aim to achieve all these three aspects. And so that's very important, that agroecology is about all those transitions, not just one of them. So looking at the principles, so you can see them in the picture on the right, spelled out. And just to say that they've developed over time, so they've grown from ecological principles around production into those broader food system principles, and the 13 principles that are now defined have come out of a process at the Committee for World Food Security, of which South Africa sits on that. And there was a high-level panel of experts paper commissioned by the committee on agroecology and other innovations. And they took input from countries, from people on the ground, from academics, researchers, etc., around what those principles are, and then these were the 13 ones that were finally agreed. And some of them, if you can look on in the middle column, some of them are to do with practices on the ground, so it's things like soil health, reducing inputs, animal health, including biodiversity, recycling of biomass and organic materials, and then it goes up to how one can apply them to more broader food system issues. So looking at not just the field, but agro-ecosystems as a whole, and then the local food systems to the broader ones. And some of the principles apply to everything, so even connectivity, it's about connectivity in the field, understanding how things work together, but also connecting consumers to food producers to the food system. And then some, like co-creation of knowledge and synergies is in all of those aspects that we're trying to transform. And, yeah, so like some of the things like input reduction is at the base level of that transformation process. But what we're trying to aim for is like a more complete transformation that addresses the social issues, the access to resources, all the things that Chairperson mentioned. Thank you. As Priscilla already noted, there's many positive benefits. So better food security and nutrition, very importantly, because of the focus on diversity. Often, even when people have access to food, they're eating very poor diets, very processed foods, very a few things and not the diversity that's needed. So that's really important. Then the critical issue of climate change. And agroecology addresses that on many levels, from the soil health improvement to better water management practices. So all the practices on the ground that are working together with nature. But then also in the food system, trying to localize food systems, have consumers and producers more connected instead of a huge global food system that requires very long distribution chains, lots of refrigeration, all those aspects that are also energy consuming. And I've provided a pack of materials for each of you. In that, there's one fact sheet on climate change in the industrialized food system. And we note that the IPCC only started looking at the food system impacts of climate change in the last 2-3 years, and actually the food system contributes 50% of climate change emissions if you look at all the aspects, from the methane in landfills, from organic waste that's going to landfill instead of back into production, all the transport, all those other issues, and then the chemical inputs that are used. And then agroecology also builds self-sustaining producer communities that are independent, takes us off the dependent on costly inputs, and we've all noted how farmers are struggling with the high cost of fertilizer given the war in Ukraine and how that impacted. It also provides safe and healthy food for people and addresses a whole lot of issues that are important in our policy around biodiversity, especially agricultural diversity, traditional knowledge and food cultures and how we want to eat and how our cultures are being eroded by the global food system, and also resilience to global crises and shocks. So it's not just us saying that we really need to look at how we can transition our food systems. Agroecology is being recognized globally. As I already mentioned, the Committee on World Food Security that's had a whole program of work on agroecology. But it's been acknowledged in many processes. So as early as 2009 was a huge international agriculture as a crossroads assessment on the state of agriculture and where we were going with world experts, and was sponsored by UN agencies and the World Bank, and that also recommended agroecology. The FAO and CGIAR bodies have agroecology programs at the moment, and the three rapporteurs on the UN rights, the UN rights to food rapporteurs, have all spoken about agroecology as very important in food system transition if we want to meet all the goals that we have, and then obviously the sustainable development goals. Agroecology fits in the right to food, but actually it touches on all the aspects of the sustainable development goals. And then most recently there's been an agroecology coalition that's developed, and that includes the AU, ECOWAS, and 17 African governments, all around those 13 principles of agroecology. And then in terms of our national policies, it speaks, as Chairperson has said, to many of our national policies. Also the international treaties and agreements that we've signed onto. And we want to highlight, as we did in our letter on the UN drop, which South Africa championed, and which is really about the agrarian transformation we'd like to see. And that covers very extensively a lot of the aspects of agroecology that are important to social movements in South Africa, including the farmers' right to seed. And so in our national policy, there's many aspects, again, that touch us, and it's nice to know that the plant protection and plant production department is here. So we've had engagement before around the right to seed and the seed laws in South Africa that undermined farm-led seed systems. We know that agroecology is mentioned in the draft producer support policy that hasn't been published, but we engaged in that. But in that policy, even though agroecology is mentioned, the policy itself doesn't really fine-tune how that support would happen. We also engaged very proactively in the draft agroecology strategy, and that was the last version was in 2013, a draft 8, and there's been no mention of it since. And that's also one of the parts of our letter that we emphasized. And then in the engagement on that, it was said that it wasn't important because we now had climate smart policies and the conservation agriculture policies. But those are not quite as comprehensive as agroecology. It doesn't touch on all the aspects. So this is this comes from the conservation agriculture policy, which had like a sustainability continuum, and on the far the most right, which was the most sustainable, it mentions conservation agriculture that's organic, so without the industrial inputs. But even conservation agriculture that would be organic only is addressing soil health. That's a very small part of the bigger picture. So it's one part of practice, but it doesn't address the other social transformation issues that agroecology does, the water, the biodiversity, all those other issues. Next slide, please. So I wanted to include this as a table that comes also from the HLPE report. That's where the those international experts looked at all the pathways to transform the food system, and those are listed on the left-hand side on under characteristics of a transformed sustainable food system. And they assessed different approaches to agriculture, and the darkest colors there are the ones that are most sustainable. And if you can see that agroecology and things like permaculture meet many of the criteria or characteristics of a transformed food system. And then on the right, climate smart agriculture, as you can see, addresses very few of those aspects. So it's speaking to addressing carbon in soils and reducing inputs, remove synthetic inputs. It's still only addressing that small aspect and not all the other parts of the sustainable food system. So I want to leave you with that. Thanks. And I'll hand over to the next presenter.
Can we have IT look into this? Let's continue.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Portfolio Committee. I'm Renee Yenis. I'm a farmer in the Western Cape in a small community called Sierra, and I will talk about the Transport Community Outreach and Education. So we are also part of the Alliance of the Chinchimakaya, and this is a national network that works with small-scale farmers, that is livestock farmers as well as crop farmers and small-scale fishers. So we are nationally, so we are working in up to 6 provinces. And our main focus is to specifically working with more women, to more empower women in the work that we are doing. So we are doing a lot of lobbying and advocacy for access to resources and information, including access to land, water, seeds, as well as equipment. And we as organization, we believe in using agriculture to sustain food security. So that is our aim in CCOE as organization, but also in our broader line to make sure that agriculture is the next one in South Africa. So our call for government is, and our plea is to government is, we need a champion. Agriculture coordinating in the parts of agriculture, land reform and rural development for coordinating interdepartmental support in response to multiple dimensions of agriculture and facilitate engagement with us as farmers as well as civil society organizations. Farmers and civil society organizations are active and ready to work in partnership with government. So we are really looking forward to have this kind of relation, to have a partnership. We also realize that common objectives is all environmental state sustainability, social justice and redress, and economic participation in fairness by working to develop a comprehensive joint strategy and program on agriculture that was presented by my previous colleague, noting the 2013 agriculture strategy draft of number 8. So also to develop a multi-sector agriculture pilot-based initiative. So we really want to have more initiatives where we have pilot plans, where we can have this type of agriculture sites. Also to integrate international obligations, especially the UNDRO international plan. So as we have, as an editor, we have signed the UNDRO, so I think we need to really work on to that. and also for us to work with the ARC on participating along comprehensive studies based on a wide scope of indicators across all principles. We are not interested to engage following go-ahead from the department. So in the picture, you can see, I think the picture speaks already what we are doing as farmers in practicing agroecology in our homestead. So I will be the first farmer that will present the testimony of the work that we are doing. So TCLE that is working nationally, we have been establishing agroecology house. And agriculture house is a collective of climate resilient alternative such as nurseries, seed banks, vermiculture, orchards, rice for production, aquaponics, bees and wild grapes. So currently we have 16 hubs in the following provinces. In the Western Cape we have 4, Eastern Cape we have 5, Free State 2, and in Limpopo we are having 5. So we are also in the process to establish more hubs where we are currently working and also in other provinces. We request for resources in order to realize our vision. The purpose of the hubs for us is to create self-sustainability enterprises so all our farmers can be entrepreneurs and to be able to provide food to our not only to our families, but also to the broader market. And also the house is serving currently house, and we want to expand it. It's also serving as a learning site close to our communities as well, providing training and different skills. So we are doing ongoing training at a different learning site, and we are also sharing the skills. Farmers will share the skills amongst each other. It also assists in coordinating labor on peak periods such as planting, harvesting and marketing. Each hub supports over 30 homestead gardens. So how the hub has a practitioner. This is a person that has experience in agriculture and an intern that works under the practitioner. Also we have a committee that works with small scale farmers around the house, which of 50% is women. The committee together work with the practitioner and the intern and plan the day-to-day activities at the house. So the pictures will show you that our market, we have local, in our communities we have local places, we will have our market days, our farmers will sell their produce, although they don't go to a market where they sell their produce. Next slide is from the Seabrand Aquaponics in the Western Cape. So like I said in my previous point, this hub is looking into having a nursery, aquaponics, we have open field, so where a lot of production do take place. And this is the pictures continue, and so that is also we have more marketers where we all farmers come together on a provincial platform where we sell our produce to different and various stakeholders. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes,
I'm Kuras Koopman, member of the Food Sovereignty Campaign. I'm coming from Papertaf, place where the church land and land owners. Agrarian Reform for Food Sovereignty Campaign, we saw the FSC. We work with a broader movement called the Via Capacina, which is an international movement. We are over 200 organizations part of La Via Capacina and have over a half million members. The FSC was established in 2008 as a task team from different regions to address land hunger, because we don't have enough land to promote agroecology on the land, so we need more land. And food insecure, we have not power to make decisions about food. That food powerless, we don't have enough power to consume about the food and marketings over the food where it go in. So unsafe, damaged environment, there's too much chemicals and pollution in our environment, and it damages our environment and also our people's health. And unsafe chemicals, industrial area, is the huge chemicals in the farming, the agriculture sector use, and it is unsafe from the chemicals for our people to use, and we do it more on a natural base, on agriculture and work with the with nature. Social service, or basic social service, is also a problem in our areas where our local communities is, municipalities, and all these people don't deliver service to our people. We work to realize agrarian transformation for food sovereignty through access to land, increase agroecology production, building strong land movements, networks, and policy engagements. As the committee can see, that are we busy to work with our partners and so. So I'm from a farm, Nieuweplaat, it's a village in the Sierenberg Mountain, where there's 50 households. So we do different farming with the weevils and livestock, and we have been farming for 20 years. Learned from our elders how we've been living and farming in the same places. So my elder was doing it for 80 years, and I is a younger learning from him, and also as a movement we have sites where we do agroecology and where we take our people to can see what we do and how learn and train them about the practices we do on the ground. So our practices is based on culture and natural farming practices, and also diverse animals and crop farming. So they have us on the farm, we work with the animals, we take the money off of the animals and do the planting and also make the compost, and also to feed our animals to lucerne and oats. So we have minimum salary to go to the places where you buy inputs on the farm. We know the inputs is a lot of money, and we don't have a lot of money as farmers, so we use the nature, and as well our call is on the to work with us and see how we can support us and how we can move forward. And production on the land we do is we do compost, and we have a site where we do crops, where we do seedlings, and where we include our livestock like cattle, cows, sheep, pigs, and geese. So all these manioc we use to grow our food. And there is a cross for nice and good sharing and foods. Then we go to the pictures. You can see the pictures, what we've done there. And also the weevils farm that we done. So Riverpetal is a huge potential for agroecology weevils. There's an enterprise where we do already weevils dry the tea, take the tea to the markets. We have an outside market for the weevils tea, and it's a small enterprise. We can make profit like $2 million a year. It can bring our livelihood to a sustainable livelihood. Thanks.
Oh, okay, morning everyone. Okay, my name is Tumbi, come from Kibatuba, KZN. Okay, I'm a farmer.
Okay, I'm talking about a lot of farmers under biowatch. Okay, all these farmers be planting vegetables and also keep the seed. Okay, I'm starting with vegetables. Okay, all these farmers is under biowatch. We planting vegetables with under agroecology. Yes, and we use our compost. I'm not using, we're not using all these chemicals. It's under, sorry, someone is here under agriculture. I'm not talking, just talk. Yeah, we're not using these chemicals as a culture giving another farmer. Because we are organic farmers, and we're using our own compost and our own fertilizer because no picture there. Yeah, I need picture there. Okay, this one is my place to stay to the Mele because there is another farmer to stay to Abu Mawa, Josie, Newcastle, everywhere. This one is my place. Oh, I saw my house there. But I'm not sure you have my husband. Okay.
Then my garden down there. Okay. We use our own compost to make with our hands. Yeah. We're not going to buy manure, fertilizer like blue bed, like round up. Okay. We do it with your own hands. We're doing potassium. Potassium stands for manure. And also we're making fertilizer like ash and blue ash and also pinch to shake away insects. That we use all this stuff according to fertilizer, this one blue cells, because if using this blue cells in your cabbage, because if you see the cabbage is open like this, if you put a
what do you call this?
This, 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 the blue bed. If you put it inside the cabin, you're making people sick because it's dangerous inside the cabin. Okay. Also, if you prepare your soil, you using cow.
So, uma ke si harvesta amanzi, unendlela esiharvesta ngayo amanzi, ezenzela ukuthi angaguguleki, ahambe. Siya simbe umselo omkhulu, bese siyawaharvesta amanzi, wafaka phakathi emselini, ukuze amanzi angaguguli amavejini. So, uma ke silungisa umhlabathi wethu-ke, siyawulungisa ngomquba wenkomo, wembuzi, wenkukhu, simikise ndawonye, sifake emhlabathini wethu, asifake umanyolo, asikavuli. So after that-ke bese-ke sesiyaqala-ke manje-ke siyahlala emhlabathini wethu, seza namakhukosi esizenzela wona, iwona esitshala ngawo laphana emasimini. After that-ke bese sesiyavozavoze ilanga lingaphili size ini
amaveg.
Okay, bese sitshala laphayana nina kuzana nokugcina kwembewu, imbewu zesintu. So, we have to take care of the people.
but also and in the end of the land. Yeah, and you put it in at some time, I was in the house. When that was 6 grand, if I make cost 6 grand, put a bonus, this is a 14 grand. So, should we born a pain of a fool who not? Yeah, because of the party, and they will say, and I put it in Italy, Japan. I see now I'm a package, not a property in a thing, I'm a package. It's a paper, I'm a family, I am a family, I'm a fool, it's a package, it's like a movie. I see now I'm a package, I'm a fool, in Japan, who you bear, I suppose, if I'm with stone. Also, it's so much as that. The Samu style of a woman means that, yeah. Okay, so I'm telling too much with, yeah. Okay. So, when my la in the wind, see, as the beggar is in the way to, see, the train in the way to, but I think now you're in doubt, it's like in the lap on the Musa Wong. For example, if you're coming to, because I'm talking about SSA, if you say, Tommy, where's your story to keep your feet on the train now? But no place to do that. Okay, one by one, we keep a seat in the hair house. In the hair house. Now, maybe all the farmers ask him, who must be a taller? It's already a pool. La person is not on a song as agroecology. So, beggar is in the room with Paga. Who's a world preserve. Never could be born at the world. Hey, you know, imagine you're going to pay the end. To see this thing, because no story is nothing. Yeah, this is a challenge of farmers in Jumaduba. Yeah,
thank you, Chair. I think the reason for these testimonies is really to show that people are working on the land, but there is support that is required so that they can expand their work. Hence, I think our issue about that under that 1.3 billion that was unspent, that there are so many issues and a need for support for farmers on the ground. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Wade. Mr. Parker, you're not presenting. Anyone else? Yes.
Can I just mention as well, the reason that we are asking so strongly for an agroecology strategy is that often the other programs are undermining of agroecological producers. So, for example, when the COVID relief grants, the disaster relief grants for farmers came out, the department received a letter from many of the organizations here through LandNet as well, saying that they were pitched at the wrong level of producers, and then the president availed a further grant for farmers who had a turnover of under 20,000. But the way that grant was delivered was in vouchers, and the only place you could redeem them was at the Cambridges, those big agricultural stores. So those stores don't have the kind of support that agroecological farmers need. And Jeanette can talk, they were the only ones that managed somehow to get registered and then to be able to supply in their area to farmers seedlings that were grown in an agroecological way, and Bokashi, which is the amendment that Kumbatini was also talking about. So we also have problems where the extension offices, if farmers want to farm agroecologically, they say they can't help them, they don't have the skills to help, they don't have the knowledge. The agricultural colleges also are often very dismissive. We tried to work with Owen Sitole, and the lecturers that were trying to bring in agroecological training really had a hard time in their college. So it's counteractive. So you have, like, you know, in the community where the department's coming and giving away free fertilizer and free, you know, chemicals, and those chemicals drift and affect the neighbors who are trying to avoid chemicals and not have poisons in their field. So there's all those conflicting policies, and that's also why we need an approach that deals with agroecological farmers that can support the kind of support that people actually need on the ground.
Thank you to all our presenters on the agroecology and all the various associations that have come before the committee of agriculture, land reform and rural development on this beautiful morning in the mother city. Honorable members, we'll now open the session for engagement. If there are any questions of clarity or comments, we'll take. Honorable Kappe.
Sure. Thank you.
Not yet. You must graduate.
Wait until I graduate.
Yeah.
Scheduled for May, June. It will be better to know. Thank you, Chair. Let me appreciate the presentation from agroecology. So many things are going through my mind as and when I listen to the presentation, and I tried so much to try to understand. For sure, I'm like those college lecturers and everybody who doesn't know and having a difficult time into grasping as to what is it that agroecology is about. I'm saying this, Chair, because I must admit that I don't know if I'll be right if I say it's a movement or this organization. It's doing a good job. One is taking us back to basics, something that we are advocating as this portfolio committee: food security in the households. Mangalusa spoke about mentioning the SSA report, and we have been the one committee that has always alluded to how the SSA measure issues of food security. They would ask members of a household, did you at any point in time during the month run out of food? Now, even if we can go to your commercial farmers and everything, if your household are running short of food, it's a problem. My issue here, Chair, I was following when the presentation starts. I was like, okay, this is about the focus is on household, home side. But as presentation goes in, now it becomes smallholder farmers and whatever. Now my question is that how different are you from organized agricultural formations that you know of? Because I thought the households and homesteads was distinctive for agroecology organization that is here. Now if you speak on the other side about smallholder farmers and all these ones that I mentioned, it brings to me that you having all these others, which is not a problem to have another organization, but you know, you have your AFASAS, your AFGRI, or whatever and everything. Even in political parties, you have new ones emerging every time. That's why I'm saying, what makes you distinct? How different are you on those ones? I tried to look at what agroecology is, Chair, and I said this presentation could have not came at a better time. We just dealt as this committee with the amendment bill on agricultural production standards that talks mainly on the production. And this is something that you are more biased towards. And I was looking at the elements of agroecology, your organic farming. I would say protecting the environment, as you say, issues of precision farming. And I'm like, it looks like these things are there within the department, but they are not elevated. I was listening to Ma'am Zalose as and when he was presenting, and issues of agrarian transformation took me back to what the department used to call, or it's calling the wagon wheel, agrarian transformation model. If you have seen that, then I was even showing chairs. Hey man, these are more aligned issues of community, issues of land ownership, issues of, that's more of that model that was conceptualized by Ntatemplintsi, called the wagon wheel, with those two components of that. So it says to me, and that is my catch, 50-50 situation to say, something that I usually say. But we might be talking on the same thing, different terminologies or concepts, which then says to me, Chair, when you look at what ecology is, how organisms relate with one another, how do you plant related to the current challenges of climate change and everything, and it takes to me for what will be the role that could be played by ARC on what you are doing. Hence, even the colleges are not able to help you and everything, but these things could be there within the department. We just need the organization that you live in to be exposed to them. Chair, we spoke last week about previous SONA commitments, and one of the presenters there from the department spoke about strategically producing for the market. Hence, I'm saying some of these things we have been dealing with, we just need that link. When you produce strategically for the market, you look at your pesticides, at what you are doing, and that takes you back even to that amendment bill that we are talking about. You're not using manure, mulching, you're using whatever you are composing, but that's your organic food production that you're looking about. Mayor related chair spoke about the agri-ecology hubs, bringing everything nearer the community. On the other side, this department is talking also about agri-parks that looks at the competitive advantage of districts. You might have packaged yours as bees, as whatever, on the same place, but when you go to different districts, they look at whatever they have that and bring nearer to the communities. Yes, your farming model might be different, but how do you tap into these existing funds, the agri-parks and everything? And I wanted to find out, or have your members applied for assistance on these different programs of the department, because my take, Chair, could be your frustration is coming from you wanting to apply as an organization, which could be a challenge because of issues of monitoring, issues of accountability. So I would think that if you encourage your members in different provinces to take advantage of whatever is coming from the department, you should be able to make a breakthrough, which then means your role would be mostly on finding more information and advocacy and creating awareness on what help is available within the department. That Nicholas also spoke about that need for more land, for they need more land, and we also know that the department usually advertises this, and it would be a challenge probably for each chair in this committee to say you could advocate for that, except to say be on the lookout. If there are any adverts, you should be able to apply. And still, for me, applying as individual farmers would be easier than wanting to say we want Lenders Agri-Ecology. I don't know if that could be possible to do that. I was sitting and asking myself, are your farmers on the farmer register? Because when you look at those are pictures of people that are really doing the job on the ground. Farmers, real farmers. Because this is what we think the compiled farmer registers in this department, there has to be a bit of biasness when the department advertises, when the department do whatever to say, but these are people that they said that they are doing 1, 2, 3 and they need to be helped. So that will be very key that you also look into that one. Chair, on Mel Tombi's presentation, I think her needs are straight and forward, and hence I'm saying when you request as individual farmers, it would help. And for her, my recommendation would be that, if possible, the secretariat could just check her details and flyers with the office in KZN to visit them and check their needs, because funding starts from the district and then they are elevated to the province. Now, if you need issues of packaging, how you get help, or you need transportation issues, study markets and like that, the storerooms and whatever, those are things that provinces or districts could be able to deal with, and that could be a direct referral. But then, Chair, I would think that we should look at it as a committee, that probably the department, because I don't think the committee has got that time, needs more open days where they could give information on the programs that they have, how farmers access that, how individual farmers or organization could access these things that they are dealing with. Because if you have to ask me on one with all this that agroecology is doing or requesting assistance on, is there within the department. Hence I'm saying it is just a movement trying to organize this homestead household kind of farmers, and probably with them the expansion of agriculture and going back to basics could be achieved. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kape. Honorable Mamo Chweta.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to you, Chair, to the members of the Portfolio Committee and our guests, and greetings to the staff. Chairperson, I think indeed I was a bit lost in the middle of the presentation, and then grabbed later on. But one thing that I can say, without repeating some of the issues that I lifted from the presentation that was set by Honorable Sam. Is that most of the things, if not all, that are presented to us are there within the department. One thing that really confused me, Chair, is when I went back to the letter written by an open letter to the minister. And immediately, Chair, I wanted to know what is it that they want to achieve. The first point, we call on Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development and the South African government to implement the following one. The first one, establish an agroecology coordinator within the department. that line alone, to me, it's either it says it's a request to be an implementing agency, to be an implementing agent of agroecology. Are we the right platform to recommend that? No. If not, Umamoshape already said, if they are with all these farmers that are affiliated, I also ask myself, what is the difference between the Chinchamakaya Alliance and AgriSA and SAFTA? I then again thought to myself, maybe I need to empower myself more on what is agroecology. Of course, Google became my friend. In between the presentation, I Googled, and I really hoped that I would get a broader understanding comparing with what is presented to us. I could find some of the links. I think, Chair, we need to link, as Mamutlaka said, that you need to be linked to the department so that you get to tap into those programs that are already there, that talks to what you need to be done. The access to market, Mamutob, and the assistant in some of the things that you need. That is what I can say, Chair, out of this, because indeed there are existing programs within the department, but they are not implementing fully what needs to be done. Hence there was an understanding, and hence you guys see a need to come and bring and close that gap, because there are people on the ground that need to access these funds that are actually doing the work. I'm pleased, Chair, to see or to hear in a true sense a farmer that is saying, I am farming organic. Those that came to farm organically, some of their products, they don't pass the certain standards. But with what Maputo was saying, with an element of preserving some of the seeds for future generations, for future purposes or for future generations, it's really commendable, Mom. It's really commendable. Hence, Chair, I would also agree with Mamu, with Honorable Clark, to say maybe we need to look at our side as a committee to have a day or a trip to KZN and have a touch and feel of what you have to say, so that we can say and claim that this is one of the true projects that is farming organic. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Treasurer. Honorable Kapa.
Thank you, Chair. Let me join my colleagues in accepting and appreciating the input, all the presentations. First of all, my opinion is that what I appreciate with the approach is that is an approach that comes to want to understand and express opinions as different from the approach of marching on the streets, picking up placards, shouting on TVs. But now this kind of engagement, to me, it is encouraging and shows potential of people who are concerned about building one nation. And also there is quite an element of voice for the poor, especially rural communities. And in that case, it means to me that there is a lot of positive that can be appreciated or explored in the whole process. But all that now takes me back to what my previous colleagues have said, because they have expressed, and I started to put a question of how far have you interacted with the department in quite a number of these issues, or some of them, or sometimes all of them. I say this because here we are overseeing a department that is very rich in human resources, skills and capacities. There's nothing that they don't have, absolutely nothing. Sometimes it's that you have not met the one who deals with your issue. Otherwise, there is no area you cannot find, whether it's a doctor or what, you will find them there. You have soil scientists, all sides, you will find them there. And therefore, while I'm asking how far you have interacted with them, I would also join the encouragement that you interact with them as soon as possible and as much as possible, because it can be possible that you just don't meet each other, and yet you are working in one space. You see, someone said to me that the people have one basic difference from all other animals. It's because they can talk. Therefore, because they talk, they can't hit each other. I'm a gilan, because anyone who saw that I'm here, don't hit me. So that potential of communication, it is going to assist. But at the same time, I don't think there's anything wrong in highlighting these possibilities to this committee. Maybe we are also making the committee somehow wiser and be able to understand how far you have communicated with all the processes that are existing or that you are oversighting. On the TCO, you had expressed mainly working with small farmers. I would have a small question there, or a clarity, that while you work with small farmers, don't you also think that you might have to engage with their adversaries, the big farmers? Unfortunately, in our cases, big farmers are not encouraging small farmers to come up. They become their rivals. It's an unfortunate situation, but it's a reality of capitalism. Maybe they had to be challenged as those big farmers who are maybe working against the small farmers. Even when you come to the organic farming, you know that the challenge there is that while you're talking about organic farming, you are talking about this in the presence of huge producers of chemicals for farming. And they make business, and unfortunately they tell that they create employment and opportunities. And they also tell us all that they are producing massive food which is needed in security. Therefore, those are the things which we always want to approach in a very careful manner, so that it should not always be confrontation. I was also interested in that part of the hubs, that how do you create these hubs? what criterion do you use to create these huts, or do you find people producing, or you bring people together into production? Just understanding on that part. And in there's also that part of seed production. Unfortunately also, I know this even in my society, that there are people who would say, I have kept this seed for the past 30 years, and this is what my grandfather or my grandmother left for me, and I don't want it not to be used or to use something else. Quite a lot of them survive. But nowadays there are challenges of these things of climate change, where people have to produce, or farmers have to produce drought-resistant seeds. And then how do you face that challenge? But also, have you thought of also exploring a way of preserving those seeds if they have to be kept continuously, that you must have that seed even the next time, and then that needs some organization, that if you say, I'm going to keep 10 kgs for my seed for next time, how do I preserve that and so on. There are so many things, there are so many ways, including the current ones, scientific ones, or even the old ones of preserving your seed, because I cannot dispute that thing of a seed preservation, because sometimes it becomes a seed that resists or even pests in that surrounding area. Now, I would like also, after emphasizing the communication with the department, I would like also to have any indication that in all what you are doing, what you are thinking about, where is the fight against unemployment, inequality, and poverty? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kapa. Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Chair, and also note my appreciation for the presentations. Chair, you know, when I sit here and listen, all the presenters have perfect products. But there's a bridge to wealth creation. And that bridge is small business development. And actually that bridge is not small business development per se, but it's entrepreneurship. And when I talk about entrepreneurship, I talk about small business development. And if I listen correctly to all the presenters, it seems like this is a breeding ground for cooperatives. And of course, if you look, because I'm coming from small business development portfolio as well, I'm serving there since 2014, and the small business development are investing, and my friend Honorable Kapa was with me since 2014 till the previous, you know, till the sixth parliament in small business. They try to invest money into cooperatives, but the thing is, I don't think we understand cooperatives as we're supposed to understand it, and not even the experts in small business development understand, and the department definitely don't understand it, that I can promise you. But here, you from experience actually implement a sort of cooperative system. So, Jay, I don't have a question. I just want to suggest something. I think we need all the speakers and their organizations to come to the Small Business Department Committee and explain to them how cooperatives are supposed to work. Because it seems to me that the technical skills of farming on a cooperative scale is there. I can see it and I can hear it from the excitement and from the passion of all the speakers. But maybe we lack, or not lack, but maybe we don't concentrate on entrepreneurship. Because it could be two things. It could be education and skill development, or it could be rands, money. And that's where the skill, I think the Department of Agriculture can give you more access to skills. But to give you access to finance, the department is small business development. So what I suggest is, Chair, if you don't mind, that we get this speakers and this delegation so that we can sort of either have a committee meeting with both departments, small business and agriculture, or that you can just come to small business development and explain, or not explain, to come and raise their concerns on what they need. And it seems to be support is the main thing. And if we can do this on a national scale and a cooperative scale, where the cooperatives can assist each other, and we can kickstart this whole movement with cooperatives, I think we can go very far away. So that is my proposal. And if you look at Sanlam, which is an insurance company, they start off as a cooperative. I mean, there was a few guys sitting around the table, have this great idea about life insurance, but there was no money. But there was entrepreneurship and there was a product, right? So they need money to start, to kickstart this organization. And they did that with coming together, looking at each other, start a cooperative, and I mean, today it's history. So that's my input. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger. Honorable Mamun Babama.
Thank you, Chair.
Please speak to the mic.
Thank you, Chair. I am actually a little bit at a loss for words because I think I understand the frustration behind the guys that have come here today. They are talking about agroecology, is it? Agroecology.
The presenters and our guests, not guys.
The presenters and our guests. Thank you for that, Chair. They're talking about agroecology, and in my understanding, it is just the way things were at the beginning, when we used to farm without all these fertilizers and big tractors and all of those things. And where I'm coming from is that I did a course with Professor Mark Swilling at the Sustainability Institute. I don't know if you guys have been there. And to me, it's just semantics. Whether you say agroecology or whether you say sustainable farming, you know, that there are different names for the same thing, basically. And what you are talking about is sustainable farming in my book. And it is the way that our grandfathers and our forefathers used to farm in the old days, mixed with a little bit of what is happening now, obviously. And I think your frustration comes from the fact that even when you look at the agro-processing, agriculture and agro-processing master plan, you will not find anything talking to sustainable agriculture or even this terminology that they're using here now. You will not find that in there. And therefore, if it is not in the plan, then how can the department actually recognize people who are coming in to apply for loans, etc., etc., etc.? Because the criteria that they are using in terms of assessing farmers is totally different from what you guys are doing. It doesn't talk to what you guys are doing. So I think the initial thing that needs to happen is that you... Sorry, I keep on saying you guys. Sorry, Jeff. that the NGOs are doing... you need to talk to the department. Somebody in the department, as you have said, that you would like to have establish an agro-ecology coordinator within the department to initiate and champion the process to convince relevant actors. So that is needed because you first have to have the department recognize the way you farm before you can actually say you can be assisted with imoto, leoifunayo, with your storeroom, with whatever. So I think that is where the problem lies. And there has to be, Uma Mchete said maybe she was quickly Googling this. And I think I am fortunate in that I went through that process. It was a learning curve. At the same time, we were out on the field and actually doing it. So you could actually see the problems that Umama was talking about. And as far as I know, I've been in this portfolio committee for quite some time. I've also worked in the land bank where we were financing smallholder farmers. Nothing was ever spoken about sustainable farming at all. So even our banks don't cater for the type of farming that you are doing at the moment. So the first step is to actually make sure that people in the department understand what agro-economy is. Agro-ecology is. But basically it's just the way farming has been done in the past, and it also touches a little bit on your the lady spoke about it on the type of farming that is very clean and whatever,
organic.
And expensive.
Organic
farming. It touches on that, but I think as the lady said, it includes a whole lot of things. It includes the ecosystems that is out there. It includes making sure that we don't have the kind of there are so many dongas there, I don't know, I've forgotten the English word now. Soil erosion, yes, it avoids soil erosion and all of those good things. So if you go to the, I'm sure Chuche has driven the Ingoma road, the soil erosion, they terrible, which came from our people losing the way they used to do agriculture and trying to go into the westernized type of farming. So yes, I think that's where it starts. It's good that you come to the portfolio committee. It's good that we are aware that there are so many NGOs that are involved in this type of work. It's good to see that there are actually individual farmers doing this, but then how do we assist? How are they going to be assisted with finance? Because there is a barrier to finance. You can go to the land bank tomorrow, I bet you will not get finance. You can go to government through the programs that they have now. You will not be financed because you don't meet the criteria. So the first step will be that, and that's my small contribution. Thank you.
Nkosi Mama Babama, the Honorable Ntate Masiva.
Chair, very good morning, everybody and the presenters. Thank you very much for the presentation. And to my colleagues, Chair, I was just saying it's very difficult to come at last when everybody has spoken. I think they have really spoken everything. But I think I'm just going to try and summarize what I'm picking up, the inputs from my colleagues and obviously my own personal inputs. I think the cry here is for sustainable agriculture, as Member Bama is saying. And this sustainable agriculture that members of the NGO are presenting is that it hasn't got a home within the Department of Agriculture. That's number one. But I think number two is that it hasn't got a home in the financing system that we are having. So the financing system is not accommodating this. So even when you look at the Department of Agriculture, their norms, their standards, their calculation, will not take into account how, you know, you're going to support this kind of funding. So I think for us, it's also, you know, just to take it a little bit further, is that there is a climate change and a climate change commitment that we made in Paris, COP 26 or whatever, you know. So I think it's also to say, how do we use this opportunity to start working on those commitments as a country that we have made in order to ensure that, you know, our gas emission, you know, is reduced, and our temperature level, you know, that we are really challenged with is also reduced. And I mean, the reality, Chair, is that the climate change is affecting us all, and we have seen the damages that are happening now in Malawi. I think we have also touched it in your presentation. And I think this is a call for action, and I really just want to say thank you that you have reached out to the Minister and you have reached out to us. And I think it's an important job that we have to take it on. And I will really even say, Chair, that maybe we need to have a sitting jointly with the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fishery to actually engage on this and to see, because they must or they should be having an enabler to support this kind of funding and so forth and so on. So I thought, let me just maybe touch on them. The other things, Mayor Tape, you have covered my point. I think it's really around the issue of saying, how are you finding yourself within the current policies of the department? Because we have got, you know, agriculture food system policies in South Africa. And maybe, you know, if you can just highlight, you know, what you have found in various policies, what are the problems. You've got Lesema, you've got Mafisa, you've got all those, you know, policies that we have got around supporting the emerging farmers as to what are the challenges that you are finding there. The other concern that I'm probably, you know, this is my own personal experience from where I come from, is that we are building all these malls, you know, that are coming out in many villages and so forth. And they are offtake, they're not really using your local production, they basically, you know, coming back to your ZZ2 and all the commercial farmers, you know, taking their products. I just want to hear the experience, because as to, do you find the market? If you find the market, what type of market? I know Mama Kulumile Ngendoye, you don't have transport to take the stuff to the market. Are there still open market for you? I think that's the question. I think the one point, Chair, that is very important is water and, you know, clean water and so forth. And they touch on the chemicals and so forth, you know. And I think in that policy that we need to look at is around quality of water, which I think is also very, very important. I've talked about the Paris, I've touched, okay. So, Mamta, also you've spoken about you are an advocate for land and agrarian reforms. There has been about 700,000 hectares that the minister advertised. If you had the opportunity to find yourself getting one of those or a couple of hectares, you know, in support of your particular program, I will definitely love to hear around that. So, Ne Vanessa, obviously I've read your book. It's very, you're partly one of the authors, eh? Very interesting. I'm going to read it. But I just want to know whether you participate in the Climate Change Forum, climate change meetings in South Africa and globally, and as to what progress has been made so far with regards to our commitment to this climate change, because we made quite serious commitments around it. I do think that a climate change coordinator, in my own, if I have to answer you, is that it's not probably the start, but I think it's one of the things that needs to happen. But I think for me what is important is that to find a work stream that is going to work on a policy that will find you in the agricultural policy as the organic producer and so forth, because I don't think that you are in the policy. If I might be wrong, the director will assist, but I think we first have to find you, get you into the policy, into the agricultural policy, and then I think we can take it from there. You, the Trust for Community Outreach and Education, I've just put a question mark here as to where are your successes, because you've spoken about all the challenges. I just want to hear about the successes around what you have been doing. On the purpose and organizing of agri-ecology, I have, you know, just underlined here, training. Is your training formalized, or is it informal? Is it, you know, you sharing with somebody, you know? How do you really exchange knowledge? Have you created a knowledge hub where really syllabus is there, you know, to train and to teach and so forth? Yeah, the on the TCOE, you've spoken about, you know, what you are doing and so forth. I think the question for me is that what is your production level? Vepetal, I know Vepetal, and I think I need to go through it again. What is your tonnage of rooibos tea and your livestock farming? How big is your livestock farming? How big is your tonnage of rooibos tea? The last chair, yeah, no, I think that one is covered. I covered that one. I covered this one. Yeah, I think. Where? Yeah, exactly where the hubs are. That's it. In the different provinces, if you can really assist us with that. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ntate Masipa. Akhbare Breed.
Thank you, Felicitas. Last time I've met him in Sydney. Thank you. I would, for all the presenters, I think really it was a very insightful presentation. I really enjoyed it. I don't think we know enough about agroecology. And I would like to maybe second the Honourable Masipa's suggestion that we have a joint discussion with the Portfolio Committee on Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment, because at the end of the day, taking COP27, which was in February, and all of the pronouncements, he mentioned the Paris Climate Agreement, I think it is necessary for us to, we can't, you know, just on one side be switching off coal, you know, power stations when we're in an electricity crisis and not looking at other sustainable ways of agriculture. So I would like to welcome and second that. In terms of, I think it was TCOE that mentioned, and no, let me start maybe here by saying I think Honourable Kruger said it, and you have perfectly summed up your problems. I think we were quite clear on that. And one thing that was lacking for me, or that I'm hoping we can further engage in, is to hear the concrete solutions to these plans. I think, you know, as we've mentioned and as you've mentioned, having the department actually look at certain, you know, sustainable agriculture or the agroecology would be one step, but I would really like to see, you know, concrete, so that we almost have a little checklist to see, you know, this is the one step we want. And I think the one thing that was concrete was to make mention of an agroecology coordinator. And I would just like to find out, because we've seen the Department of Agriculture have this big, boisterous structure from two departments having to fuse into one and then seeing one structure. And I would like to get the sense of where you foresee an agroecology coordinator fitting into. What would a role be of such an agroecology coordinator? Because I'm just thinking of between extension officers and DDGs and managers and all of these things, I'm not getting a sense. I'm scared we're going to have one person extra and we're not going to be addressing the problem. And I think my colleagues have then made mention of it. I said here, the problem is, and which I'm garnering, is we have AgriParks, we have SPSUs, we have LSD, we have CUSP. We have such multiple programs within agriculture, and we need to find a way to have these projects speak to, you know, speak to agroecology and vice versa. I think that has been mentioned. Speaking of the UN drop, the declaration, I would like to know how, a lot has been said about the UN draft and that it needs to be taken forward, but how do you envision it being taken forward? What actual concrete steps should there be? Because it's all good and well, we have a declaration and we've signed it, but what next? Okay. Then I would like to find out, is agroecology being taught? For example, at a tertiary level, I'm from the Free State, so I'm from UOF, the University of the Free State, and we have a very big agricultural department there, a very strong big one, who specializes in a lot, but I would like to find out, is agroecology being taught? Because I think, and as we've said, to a large extent, that's one of the big problems. We are taught to, we're not necessarily taught for sustainability. We're taught for profit margins. Then I would like to know, it has been said in the open letter that work needs to be done with ARC. How do you envision the ARC being involved in agroecology and taking your strive forward? And then just the last question, Chairperson, specifically speaking to seeding, I would just like to find out, because I know we have very strong seeding laws in South Africa and who's allowed to seed and who's not allowed to seed and, you know, yada yada. But I would like to know, what is the impact of these seeding laws on seeding in an agroecology stance? And what changes would need to happen in seeding laws to actually not counter interact? I've known a lot of, and majors that a lot of commercial farmers have also said that it's just making the end of the day, it's just making the guys who produce seeds, it's just making them richer, it's not benefiting anybody else, the seeding law. So I would just like to find out that. Chairperson, and then float my spurious aid. That's me for today.
Thank you, for a break. Last but not least, honorable members, let me perhaps welcome and acknowledge the acting director of the department who is here with us, Dr. Joseph Mahlabe, as well as the director, Mayor Lydia Bosoka. And it will be good to hear their input on the presentation that we have had and perhaps look into a bigger engagement with the Honorable Minister, the Executive, and the entire department as led by the Director General on the presentation we have received from the various organizations that have come before the Portfolio Committee this morning. The department, honorable members, might know of what agroecology is as a term, but that doesn't mean that they understand how it works in practice. and it would be good to get some input from the officials of the department with us as to what their take is on this presentation. If this be the case, there would be agroecology programs that we know of that have been implemented and supported by the department and government. Agroecology, honorable members, doesn't use chemicals and advocates for environmental sustainability and social justice. It can be understood in terms of organic farming and that it is friendly to the environment and the land that it utilizes. Unfortunately, on the other hand, the whole agricultural system in the country is based on conventional farming and the use of chemicals, therefore predominates the sector. Even when the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development gives farmers production inputs, those are based on chemicals or conventional commercial seeds, which is not what Umamu Ndwandwe was speaking to when she says seeds of our forefathers and ancestors. That's the difference between our guests this morning and the existing farmer organizations. And the status quo is largely driven by the education system that we have inherited from colonialism and the apartheid legacy. The department officials were trained on conventional and commercial-based agriculture and seem to not be able to see beyond that narrative. And hence, there's never been that much talk about agroecology by the department, or rather, they may have given it a different name under one of their programs, so it will be interested to hear what the officials' input may be. Besides, honorable members, the Sustainability Institute in Stellenbosch that the Honorable Mamumba Bama referred to, are there any schools that have a curriculum or even tertiary institutions which Honorable Briet makes an example of the Free State University of OFS as one of the leading agricultural institutes, who also seem to have not got any agroecology courses as an alternative. If we may be able to gain an understanding from the department what other institutes offer such courses. But broadly, honorable members, the presentation today raises matters of great importance. Amongst the issues are that of environmental, social and economic, and ethical developmental issues. And it places agroecology as a practice and perhaps a science at the center of solution. This is very welcomed by the portfolio committee. It makes us think of the effects of industrial farming practices. No doubt that there are huge gains from that system of farming. However, the gains come at a cost of soil degradation, salination of irrigated areas, over-extraction of groundwater, the build-up of pest resistance, if one factors in climate change, as raised in the presentation, one can logically say that something needs to be done, honorable members. The presentation is anchored on promoting of indigenous farming systems. I have therefore, honorable members, the following questions for our guests and the presenters that spoke before the committee this morning, and also to the alliance in general. It was mentioned that there is no agroecology policy in South Africa. However, you also mentioned that there are a number of draft documents that being policies and strategies. Why do you think policy development has stalled, and what can be done to fast track this? What is your take of the various draft policies, including the National Policy on Comprehensive Producer Development Support? What are the weaknesses in these draft policies to address the issues you raised in the presentation? Umam Gwandwe comes from one of the greatest monarchs in South Africa, that of Udingiswayo Wamandwandwe in KwaZulu-Natal. She speaks of households and their own farming plots where they produce but don't have means to take their produce to the market due to lack of transport. Transportation costs are very high, which also has a negative impact on the prices that they are able to get in terms of market-related prices. But also their produce is bought at very low prices. Therefore, the market is the one that determines the price they sell at. I am aware, honorable members, that the department runs a program which is the 1 hectare, 1 household. How is this program being utilized by the alliance or the different entities, particularly to reach out for those households and people like Umam Dwandwe to ensure that they are effectively supported? In the previous fiscal, we had almost 800 million rands sent back to Treasury for this particular program, whilst there are people in need like Umam Dwandwe. It is also mentioned, honorable members, that there are drafts scattered across programs of the department. In your view, and given your understanding of the policy space, where in the department programs can agroecology be located? This question is important for us, honorable members, because in a few weeks' time, we will be receiving budgets and APPs from the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. One would like to see how this work is catered for in the current strategic plan of the department, and whether there is budget allocated for it. South Africa, as we all know, honorable members, has a rapidly increasing and urbanizing population that brings the challenge of feeding our population that is growing and the urbanizing population. We know that the conventional industrial farming system put emphasis on productivity, profits, and economic growth, thus ensuring increased food availability and creating jobs in the agricultural sector. If one looks at the presentation today, honorable members, the examples given are small-scale farmers who are very important in my view. However, I'm not sure if these can feed the increasing population in the cities. Perhaps the question is, how can the small-scale family of farmers can be supported just as the large-scale industrial farming system? And I make an example of Kenya in this regard because I know of some farmers that left South Africa in our transition to democracy, fearing for a civil war on the horizon, which was never to be. But they fled to Kenya, and in Kenya, they organized themselves as a co-op, and therefore reaching out to small-scale farmers and readying them to produce certain produce for an international market. And at the very specific instances, they would ask for products that were in demand in the United Kingdom market. And having started with a couple of hundred small-scale farmers, they've grown today to having about 2 million small-scale farmers who are directly growing produce for the market in the UK. I know this for one because on my other capacity in the commercial space I operate in as MK Freight Systems, we run a freight company that moves cargo. 3 times a week I pick up this fresh produce from Kenya and Nairobi and transport it through Liège into the United Kingdom. This is the success story of small-scale farmers being properly organized and effective in having a true and meaningful impact in an international market. So I would want to ascertain as to how are these small-scale farmers in regards to agroecology being mobilized, supported, and coordinated to ensure that their produce is able to find itself into the market and be able, because organic produce is so much in demand today and it's bought at a high value. How are they ensuring that they are able to operate as an organized entity and their produce finds itself into the market? I have also received a question from Honorable Masipa, who had not an opportunity to field this question, and he has asked that I sponsor this question on his behalf, and he would like to know if have you considered engaging the legal and policy executive Yance Rabi to the Presidential Climate Commission PCC, who was appointed by His Excellency President Cyril Ramaphosa of the Republic of South Africa. That would be all on the presentation questions that have been put before the committee today. And I think in this regard, honorable members, allow me to invite the officials of the department first to give input on the questions we've fielded and the presentation that they've been able to receive from our guests regarding agroecology. And perhaps that input can also appraise the presenters and our guests in terms of their own responses that they will be fielding back to the committee. You may go ahead.
Thank you.
Please switch on your mic.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable members in the House, and thank you for Chincha Makaya and Biowatch and the Alliance. I think the issues raised by members are very important and very critical, and they make a calling when I try to summarize it, because this is a house of making laws, and we need to look at in terms of which laws affect their operations. And what came to my mind is the act in place, which is the Plan Improvement Act, which I'm responsible for, and the other one which deals with the environment is with CARA, and it also has implications on the other act, which is on fertilizers. They call it Act 36. The other act is, you also mentioned in our opening remarks, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, is with regard to the issues of standards. What does it mean, or what I've heard from our constituency, there is the issue of basically they need protection in what they're doing. And protection in the sense of what is agroecology? Agroecology is a farming operation which does not use, for example, GMO or hybrids. And agroecology is a production practices which does not use most of artificial fertilizers. And agroecology is not the it's a farming production practices which also does not use a lot of chemicals, which are pesticides. And Mayor from KZN indicated about the issue in terms of the use of indigenous knowledge in terms of combating the effect of pests in their farming operation, even though it elevated the level of infrastructure in terms of where they pack their produce. But from the department, I want to say the issues raised is for us to look at those acts I've mentioned, whether they really offer the enabling environment for agroecology. There are legislation, obviously we need to come up with the other regulation which protects us. What do I mean? You might find that some of the regulation is very silent in terms of zoning where they produce, because if you practice agroecology here and your neighbor is not practicing agroecology, is you're saying, for example, GMO seeds and other hybrid seeds, automatically what you are doing next door is not going to be agroecology, because they are going to fly over and cross-pollinate with what they're doing. But from us is to look at those acts. The one of CARA to emphasize the use of natural, sustainable use of natural resources. What does it mean to make a compost? You know, some of, for example, plant residues and other medical dung to make compost. And in terms of standards, it calls to have standards for better compost in terms of from a fertilizer point of view, and also standards with regard to the produce. Agroecology, when you practice properly, irrespective of the size or the scale or how many hectares, but if you adhere to those principles, the produce can also be classified as organic produce, because it will be able to meet the standard. This is a higher standard than the organic farming. Then the higher standards obviously will enable them whatever they do, to be able to produce something of a better quality. And agroecology is, in the olden days, what used to be the farming operation executed by our legacy farmers. What we used to do, it was almost 100% agroecology. But because of the evolution with the technology and other things, then it's fading. And even now we can look at it, it could be difficult to say, really it's agroecology. Because your neighbor is using something else, then you have to be able to determine whether there are no cross-pollination with what has been produced next door. But in a nutshell, what I'm saying is for us to take stock. Of course, we can come up with a policy, there's a draft, but it's for us to look at the existing laws and make sure that protects this sector called agroecology. Then from there, there will be other support packages which the department offers. For example, comprehensive agricultural support system to make sure that they have been catered. I think that those services are there, but these are critical to really say this is agroecology. In terms of law and regulations, if they are not really tied up and being in place, I cannot really call it agroecology. Then I think the cry from them is for us as a department to look at it and be able to make sure that we work on those laws. Most of those laws are very old laws. Very old laws. They were more pro-profit. Then we look at this one, it's also pro-profit in a way if you produce something, but the problem in terms of production from agroecology is not going to be similar to the production of maybe where you use a hybrid like GMOs. But this is one of the solutions where we need to look at it so that we can be able to correct some of the negative effects of the use of a lot of chemicals. We know a lot in terms of glyphosate, the impact of glyphosate, the impact in terms of our health, the impact in terms of the standards, and the impact into the environment. Then we need to look at them. We are busy looking at them, but we need to be able to look at them in a close eye and make sure that we tie all the loopholes and make sure that they are also being afforded the enabling environment to be able to produce what they intend to produce. Other support coverages, they are there, then we'll just look at them to see that they are accommodated. And from where I'm sitting, maybe so I will be able to touch on those issues. But in simple terms, let's make sure where research comes in, they must play a role in breeding seeds which are environmentally friendly. But basically I'm talking about organic seeds. In agricultural terms, we call it open coordinated varieties rather than hybrids. But in simple terms, the agroecology is what is being done just to make sure that okay, you don't do some of the things which will be able to affect the environment, which start from the seeds, from all the inputs you use, make sure that everything you use is environmentally friendly. I'll step down to allow my colleagues.
I mean, I mean, he is stepping down. So please, Please proceed, Mamu Lydia Busoga.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also good day to members of the Portfolio Committee. I think as a department we have had the presentation and we also acknowledge the cry that is out there for sustainable farming practice. And as a department, we do have some of the interventions that are geared towards addressing issues of sustainable farming practices. And as my colleague has indicated, we do have some of those legislation like the Conservation of Agricultural Resources Act, which part of the regulation do address
the principles that are being set in the agro ecology documentation. And we do also have some roll-out plans. For instance, within the land care program, as the department, as part of our response to the NDP for addressing unconventional agricultural practices, the department has 30% allocation of the land care grant towards conservation agriculture. So that 30% is small, chairperson, is not that huge, but I think it is the department intervention here to promote the practice of agroecology. And through that program, as I indicated, we acknowledge the principles of diversification. We acknowledge the principles of permanent cover, and we also acknowledge continuous minimum mechanical disturbances. So those are some of the impacts of land degradation that within agroecology as the department we are having such intervention. We have services that are focused on soil care, soil care, and those services are aligned to the agroecology approach. So those services, amongst other, include the soil fertility testing and soil analysis. Those services, we are working in collaboration with our Agricultural Research Council to monitor continuously the soil health of the country. So in that, we do acknowledge that this work that we're doing, as minimal as it is, we are also reporting internationally on those conventions that have already been mentioned. So the department is gearing some of their programs to be able to respond to some of those decisions and agreements that have been communicated. Among others, we have the land degradation neutrality target, which by land degradation neutrality target, with the hectares of land rehabilitated that we are reporting on an annual basis, such contributes towards the department responding both to the conventions that we have signed or creating mechanisms to respond in that manner, but also dealing with the actual issues on the ground to see how many hectares are we promoting sustainable practices on the ground. So with that, I must say we do acknowledge this outcry, and there are some of the policies that we are working on. Among others, I think recently we are working on the farm plan regulation. That farm plan regulation has been in the CARA, Conservation of Agricultural Resources Act, but this farm plan regulation is intended to ensure that the farm is well planned and managed, and the farm is also having appropriate practices in that farm portion. So inclusive of that is the conservation agriculture, where we are promoting no-till planting where it's practical. On that, I think I also agree with my colleague, there is need to review some of this legislation as they were way back, but it is our intention as well to ensure that we promote sustainable practices through the existing programs that we are having, such as the land care program. I think that the number of questions that have been raised, we take note of them. And as the team will also look into how best we can be able to create other avenues, because currently the land care program is focusing on community-based organizations. So we see this partnership with NGOs and others that we can coordinate the work in the communities to ensure that whatever support is coming from the private-public it's geared directly to the institution or structures that are there in the community. Our current legislative environment makes provision for soil conservation committees. However, we believe that such needs to be considered in terms of financial support for them to be running at the ward level and not necessarily at the district where farmers are not able to move as a distance of resources for them to travel. So there is a number of interventions that the department is working on to align to agroecology. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. From the officials of the department for their input. We'll now revert back to our guests and our presenters, as led by Mom Dlalose. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, honorable members, for all the input questions. Perhaps some of them we might not be able to answer them today, but I think for us, the first thing that is good is that the portfolio committee invited the officials from the department. We really appreciate that, because as you can see on the letter, our plan here was to engage the department. So we use the portfolio committee as our lobbying structure. But thank you very much. But we have a team here, so I think the questions that you raised, we are all going to interact on those. Perhaps let me give the opportunity to wait to his one of our AE persons. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, honorable members. Thank you, comrades. I'm Wade. I'm from Surplus People Project, NGO, that focuses, also one of the focuses, agroecology. So there's a few questions, and I will possibly that we'll touch on all of the questions. If not, I'm sorry, but we also have a colleague that would. But I think also in my response, I'll just provide a bit of a deeper context to why agroecology, and I think that was also a question from one of the members. Now, I have my notes. So I think we can speak to a lot of about a lot of sustainable practices, but I think we should also look at why, and I'll specifically focus on agroecology. I want to start with saying that to provide context to this is saying that in South Africa we have enough land to feed South Africa, but it's not the case. We are still at households and communities going to be hungry. So the question of access to food, I think it's a priority when it comes to alternatives. So agroecology is an international movement, and it's growing stronger nationally, especially to South Africa. And it's not just a means of production. So it also brings access to food for households and communities as a priority to do this. So in our language that we are speaking, as you can see, we don't speak much about food security, but we use the term food sovereignty. Speaking about food sovereignty, it's a much more radical approach to food security, because when you speak about food security, it's not really addressing the root causes of why these households or communities are going to get hungry. So when we speak to a food sovereignty, saying the radical approach, looking at these root causes and trying to address the root causes of this, of food, of the issue of food or access to food. But it's also access to the seed, who has control over the seed, challenging that. Access to resources, who has control of the resources, where is most of the resources spent, but also again access to food. So if we are, I just think that a lot of other policies and laws was mentioned, but if we are going to look at the existing programs or policies in place, I think in the presentation we looked at the four categories when we speak to the principles of agroecology. Just to mention quickly, it's environmental sustainability, social justice and redress, and economic fairness and participation. And I think the most important priority when we speak to alternative of agroecology is the of social justice and redress. Because when we speak about food, we have to speak about land and access to land and who has control over the land, and we have to speak about water, who has control over the water, and really what's the issue when it comes to access to water. You can't look at the three differently. So when we speak about food sovereignty, it's a much deeper purpose when it comes to the principles of AE. When we speak about, or what we are saying is that farmers should be the custodians of these resources, the seeds,
land so that we as farmers can produce the food to feed our people of South Africa. So currently, in our focus in South Africa, the food system, which you are saying is an issue, is there's a lot of focus of high-value products and exports, but we're not looking at our communities and how we can address this issue through local-based markets, for example. So it's not just about business models. We don't say agroecology, or agroecology is not a business model, but how we can address the need for food and locally in our communities, households, and eventually South Africa, I'm just thinking about becoming food sovereign. We have existing policies, we have existing declarations, and there was a question on the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Peasants and People Living in Rural Areas. This also speaks, and South Africa, we signed on to that, I'm not sure when that happened, but it speaks to the need of access to seeds for people becoming, for farmers becoming the custodians of seeds. Food, to have access to food, for people to, or for the system to be a more human rights-based approach, people to be in the center of the decision-making when it comes to food. The thing that was, I'm not sure, I think I'm at the third question that I will be able to also respond is, in terms of the call that we have, or the cry that we have to the portfolio committee, as well as the department in a agroecology coordinator. So there's a lot of platforms where we would think that speaking about or preaching agroecology on these platforms would make a much bigger difference, and there was reference to the university's college. So we believe that with having a coordinator in the department focusing on agroecology, this person can then also be responsible for at least the process to start embedding these discussions on these different kinds of platforms in universities, at agricultural schools and platforms like that. But also, we further also believe that if there's no agroecology or recognition for this practice or agroecology, then the question is, how do we actually make this part of the discussions when we speak about, we eventually speak about the different climate change bills or different climate change acts or currently relevant agricultural acts and policies in place if there's no recognition for this? So I think if there is recognition of AE, this will then positively automatically become part of discussions when we do speak about other relevant policies and laws or goals that will still be put in place. I think that's probably the three questions I could answer on it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much to Wade for bringing us back to the rights-based approach.
Well, Park, please switch off the microphone. Thank you.
Thank you. There were many questions, and I want to start from the beginning. How are we different from AgriSA or those bodies? So just to say, perhaps we weren't clear, it's many, many networks, individual organizations, farmer groups are all part of this broad platform around agroecology. So we're not one organization, but many who take agroecology as an approach to production and food system change. And we have regional variations. I'm Renette Pader of a bigger Women on Farms network as well, of farm people affected by very much the pesticides and those things in industrial farming. So there's many, we're just a few of us representing many, but we're not a big organized, like formal structure. But what is very different from of us from AgriSA, for example, is that we have this different approach that's rights-based, that's about social justice. And often we at loggerheads, people don't understand what we're talking about. When we engage with the conventional sector, the main focus is on productivity and looking at monocultures. We are productive. We're very productive. If you look at somebody's garden and see the diversity and the amount of produce that is produced, it's incredible. But that's not recognized. It's not the add-ons or the additional benefits also aren't recognized of healthy soil, climate change adaptation, climate change mitigation, the importance of traditional knowledge, all those other things we've raised today. Also, we're not about things like precision farming, but we do acknowledge that there needs to be a transition process for farmers. But what we're seeing in the current policy where we have, for example, conservation agriculture, as I mentioned before, it's addressing one aspect. But that's really designed for transitioning the big commercial farmers away from inputs. But the way it plays out in the smallholder sector, for example, is that smallholders who are practicing sustainable agriculture then get introduced to Roundup herbicide to spray on their cropping as a no-till option. That's not progress, that's going backwards. So we need a differentiated approach, and the policy sometimes is addressing the commercial sector and the industrial approach and not understanding the context of smallholder producers on the ground. And that's part of our frustration, and thank you for recognizing why we're frustrated and coming to you. Also, in terms of organic, yes, we have an organic approach, but what we're saying is also more than organic, because one of the things that we struggled with when the agroecology strategy was being discussed is that it was also being approached as a niche market or a niche production system to access niche markets. And as Wade made very clear, we're not trying to access export markets. People want to sell their surplus to their local community. And instead, they're being forced to go into selling to Boxer or Pick and Pay because there are no local market facilities. The mayor of Matuba long ago promised that the Mele Co-op, that Tombatini is part of, would have a space in town. It hasn't materialized. We need those local accessible markets to communities so people can get healthy, nutritious, fresh food at an affordable price. People are hungry because they can't afford food in the conventional system. It's there in the supermarkets, but we can't afford it. We would very much welcome visits to projects. And it's not just us sitting here, they are around the country. We couldn't bring everyone to come and see you. But in every province, there are agroecological farmers who would welcome visits from the National Portfolio Committee, our Provincial Portfolio Committee. We've invited them, but they're not coming. We have also invited the department, please come and see, so you can feel what we're talking about. We note that you're sending us a challenge to say, look at the policies we have and which ones fit and which ones are counteracting. But just as an overall, we've mentioned some of the problems where if you've got a department that in all its aspects is constantly promoting industrial agriculture, it's not serving what we're asking for. It's not providing what we need. And just as a very small example, and we can't go into all of it, but for example, farmers grow their own maize from their own seed that they've kept. And yes, we are sharing techniques for seed saving, seeds, all those issues around seed production. We've got programs that are doing that. But those same farmers can't always eat their own maize because they don't have something like a small-scale milling machine. If you want to eat milled maize, you are forced to go to a big maize mill in town. You often don't get your own maize back. It costs money to mill. It costs money for transport. So a simple intervention around appropriate technology to farmers to be able to mill their own maize for community needs in smaller co-ops would be a huge intervention. And that's just one example of many. Also, the policies, a lot of them are geared towards, if one looks at even the producer support, which mentions agroecology because we were all involved in giving input, it's still very much geared to forcing smallholder producers or focused on smallholder producers entering commodity value chains at the commercial level. It's not really geared around how do we get South Africa food secure, so people have good food and nutrition at local level. So it's that mismatch. It's not that we're wanting everyone to upscale to export markets, no, or into just selling to the big supermarket chains who are making the money. How can value be retained in communities and community have good fresh food? My honourable member asked about the seed issue, and the seed issue is another case in point, and this is again why I'm saying we need the agroecology champion, because there's so many departments that impact. There's so many units or departments within agriculture department itself. So for a small organization on the ground to know where to go, I mean, there's economic development, there's local municipal offices that deal with local economic development. So there's a lot of issues touching on everyone. But even in the seed, for example, there's two seed acts at the moment, the Plant Improvement Act and the Plant Breeders' Rights Act. Those are acts that give support to commercial seed breeders. That's what they're designed to do. They've been amended, as you know, to fit in with UPOV, which is the International Convention of Breeders. We were all coming to see you. I recognize some of you coming to Parliament to speak on this, the seed laws, because we felt they threatened local seed systems. And we're very pleased that the regulations have finally been published, and there are some exemptions for smallholders in the regulations. Well, they're not published, the draft has been published, and there are some exemptions, but actually we need like full policies supporting farmer-led seed systems that recognize how they work, and us can play a role. We need more seed available that's open pollinated and farmer varieties. We get inundated with requests from groups saying, do you have seed for us? We don't want the department seed that the department hands out, often unlabeled, so that farmers don't even know what they're getting. They don't know if it's GM or hybrid or what's going to happen. But there's not enough seed because farmer seed has been pushed out of the system, so there needs to be support for that. That's just one example. It's not enough to just have some exemptions and regulations, and the exemptions are, the way it's drafted at the moment, so complicated. There's a list, and you have to know quantities, and you have to know varieties. If you're a farmer on the ground, you exchange seed. You don't know if you've got a plant breeder's rights over it, and you're not going to be measuring, have I exceeded the amount, am I contravening the law? There's many things. So that's just an illustration of one example. We note the Act 36, and there's another group in our network that are particularly dealing with pesticides, and there's a big campaign, particularly around the highly hazardous pesticides, that those laws need to be reformed, and we need to ban the highly hazardous pesticides that are impacting on farm workers daily. And destroying their lives, making people sick on multiple levels, destroying the water, etc. In terms of ARC had responded to our letter, and they are keen to get involved in some longitudinal studies to see, to compare, because one of the big things that keeps getting pushed at us is that agroecology is not productive, it can't feed people. And our experiences on the ground show that that's not true. We can. But we want to prove it. And ARC is willing to get involved in research, but they want confirmation from the department. They said they can't move until the department says it's okay. So that's what we'd really very much like to do, and we're waiting for them to get that confirmation. Also on climate change, I think you've raised a very important point, and I'm not sure how many organizations, but I know a lot in the movement have made submissions on the climate change bill. We've all asked that food gets given more prominence in the climate change bill, but we know it's a plan to make plans. And we've already asked the department, can we start engaging on the agricultural adaptation and mitigation plan? Because we know as soon as that climate bill is published, we need to act quickly on having a plan, and we asking that agroecology can be a framework for that adaptation plan. So that is a good point because it brings in all the aspects, the production aspects and the localizing the food system to reduce transport and all those other impacts that create climate change in the food system. So I think that's the main things that I wanted to respond to, and others can then step in. Thank you.
Yeah, I think, the examples. I just wanted to respond on the farm, 700 farms that were advertised, I wouldn't know how many of our alliance members have responded to those adverts. But I think one of the things that you must also think about is the finance, again, whether the farmers are able even to, you know, purchase or to even leave those farms. So those are some of the dynamics that are a challenge to the farmers. But at this point in time, I wouldn't know, but I can always go back to the alliance members just to make sure that we take advantage of the support that is out there. Yeah. Renette, do you want to give some examples? I think there was, the success stories.
Okay, yeah, I think I want to my fellow portfolio committee member, I think what you were saying, especially when you said to this, we are already in a process where we are in a co-op, that is what we are doing, but there's not a lot of support really out there that is assisting farmers. So yeah, I think, and if I can share some of the success stories, it's really, my sister was talking about when COVID-19 hit us, it was really bad for us as farmers, and what we have done is, because a lot of farmers at that time couldn't move around, so what the NGOs was doing is that farmers were sitting, especially I can talk of experience, because we were sitting with produce, we couldn't move, and we didn't have a market. That is one of the things that small scale farmers don't have access. We don't have access to a proper market. Even the retail shop, you can go, your produce is of quality, they will say, but we already have a market, we will get our produce. So they don't support local small scale farmers. So with COVID-19, we, the NGOs come together, and what we have done is we purchased all, because there was no, you couldn't go to your land, you couldn't work your land, you weren't allowed to move around. So what we have done, we have purchased the produce from the small scale farmers, make a food basket, and we distribute it to more than 400 families in the different communities that we are working. So I think that is one of the key things that we are doing, is to support our small scale farmers, the families that we are working. Is my comrade was saying that lots of people are still going to get hungry, and also with this, we have been part of the ranchness, and we was at the Seabrook Aquaponics, we was really putting a lot of emphasis and a lot of work into that. He was saying that why can't government also buy seedlings, buy bukkasi, buy biochar from us as small scale farmers, and we have been registered through this project, and I can say we're proud today that we have been able to supply to more than 300 families throughout the Western Cape, from Doha up to the Dwarren, to Simondium, to Rossenville. We have been able to provide seedlings. We have made two packs, a winter pack and a summer pack, where we have seedlings in the pack. We have worm seed, we have the bukkasi, and as well as the biochar.
Can we conclude?
So, okay. So yeah, I think there's a lot of things that we have been able to done, they have done. And on a question towards why don't small scale farmers work with a big farm? I think commercial farmers really don't want to work with us as small scale farmers, as though they have a lot of skills and things that they can share. But I think it's just the norm of the day that they don't want to work with us. Thank you.
Thank you to our presenters, and I'd like honorable members to thank the entire team and delegation from Chincha Makhaya Alliance and BioWatch South Africa and all other entities that came as individuals and also came as a collective that supports and works with small-scale farmers in the agroecology sector.
I think for us, honorable members, was to ensure that we are able to bring them before the department so that they are able to air their experience and challenges as a sector and try and find synergies where we can be able to address their plight and be able to gain support for the issues that they've raised. But I would also want to seek clarity and perhaps further indulgence from the department, and therefore I will ask the acting director and as a director, Ntate Mahlabe, as well as Mamu Busoga, to assist the committee by sending us a submission no later than next week Friday in terms of providing clarity as to what has the department been doing all these years with draft policies, particularly from as far back as 2013, including old legislation that they've not mentioned. These entities or small-scale farmers on agroecology had to write an open letter to the committee, but also to the ministry, which has led us to this meeting today, and would like to gain a thorough understanding as to what is the department thinking in terms of agroecology, where it is placed in terms of their programs, and if there's a budget for that in this coming fiscal. If you can be able to send us that so that we can engage with the department on a more full meeting so that we are able to see as to how we come closer to our small-scale farmers in the agroecology. But we would like to thank you for having taken time as the entities to come before the committee. And I heard Mamdaloza saying we used the committee. we are a parliament of the people, Mamdaloza. We sit here as MPs that have been elected and nominated by yourself to be your representatives in Parliament. And therefore our interest is to ensure that your needs and challenges are attended to and that we represent you fully by holding the department and its officials accountable, and that what they are mandated to do actually reaches our most needy of communities. So we don't feel used at all, but feel that we have fulfilled our mandate by being true representatives, and we will have champions in you tomorrow who will say that, you know, that committee actually does represent us as communities. We came from all corners of the country, as far as KZN, that being Umamdwandwe, and came to Parliament of the Republic to say, these are my challenges. This is what I need assistance on. And I think the officials of the department have truly been empowered today to fully understand what are the needs of our people and how they can be able to reach out to you in addressing those challenges you may be facing. I therefore want to thank the officials of the department for availing yourself, and I hope you will take today's engagement directly to the minister and the executive and the DG so that we can be able to map a way forward together as to how we are able to support agroecology. Kate Ralph and those that work in the background in the department, we'd like to thank you for ensuring that the officials were able to navigate their way to Parliament and they were able to be here. We'd like to thank all our staff, secretariat, content advisors, our researchers, as well as communications and logistics for having assisted us to have our first physical meeting post-COVID. Honorable members, we are greatly appreciative that you've come to the precinct of Parliament and are sending a loud and clear message to Parliament and the Speaker that Parliament is ready to be utilized. We are eager to go back to the chamber, so we wish them well in getting underway in fixing the damages that have fallen on the National Assembly and some of the offices. Let me also remind you that we have a plenary in the Good Hope Chamber at 2 o'clock and we'll invite you all to be there on time. Those that will be logging in on the hybrid must make sure that you log in timelessly. We wish you a great week ahead, but please note that we have been granted permission to do oversight and the secretariat will be sending messages accordingly. I should also express, honorable members, to all of you that as you pick up issues of agency and you impress on us as the management committee to prioritize those programs, take note that that affects the program and we have to chop and change the program to accommodate your desires and your priorities. And it is in that regard that you find some of the issues of our program are postponed for a later date because we are accommodating the things that you want us to prioritize. And I therefore wish to implore on all of you to be patient with us as we navigate through the program. If we were to have it as our ourselves, we will just have a program that stands and it will not be changeable and we will just go through the program as it sits. But because we accommodate what you want prioritized as a committee, allow us to therefore make the necessary changes to make room and space for the issues that you want us to engage with. The meeting, honorable members, stands adjourned. And thank you for having taken an extra 20 minutes out of your lunch time. All the best.